TBI Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Hey, folks. Good day. How is everyone? This is Dare to Think Out Loud. My name's LB Bork, founder of People's Awareness Coalition. Been around, 22 years now. It's unbelievable. Anyway, thanks for joining us. Going to have a great discussion today. I have my good friend John Breeson with me. Everyone else is out. Our good friend Mike had to go to North Carolina, I think he said. And I don't know what he's doing. He's got family business, I suppose. Maybe taking some long-needed time off. I don't know. But anyway, today is the 16th of October, and we're live right now. If you are hearing this in the future, it's going to be a recording. I did put a recording on my show, The Ultimate Remedy, up this week, and just needed a day off, and I wasn't feeling up to snuff, or I was under the weather, so I had Mr. Rowe put up a past program. I don't even know what he played. Anyway, if you're listening, Mr. Rowe, thank you. And I want to thank all the people at Revolution Radio for letting us broadcast on this platform. It's one of the few platforms where I don't think there's much. There's no censorship. Like the world is feeling from these lefties that run everything today. And that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit today in regard to the Trump anomaly. It's kind of strange what's happened with Trump. And it's just been a weird 4 years. And the reason Trump is an anomaly to me is he's not a politician. And the way I look at it through my research, you know, the Civil War was the turning point for the United States. It always had under control type mechanism, which I call either the New World Order or the shadow government, and it's all Zionist based, and everything in the world's controlled by that. And I personally get criticized for saying everything's Marxist or communist, and I pretty much pinpointed through history and the characters that are in control within the shadow government. You know, it's all about the economy. That's it in a nutshell. That's everything for the most part. Sure, these elitists like to control people to a point, but the control is not only to enslave them in different ways, but to make a profit off them. Even Bill Clinton said a few years ago, it's the economy, stupid. And if you go back in history, you know, to, I don't know, just before Christ appeared on earth, the people that controlled things in a Hellenistic society were basically controlling everything in regards to commerce. And that goes back to the year 3000 BC. And probably before that, it's all encompassed in the biblical, you know, stories that have been put out in the Old Testament. And of course, it's carried forward to today that people don't understand because they've pretty much been turned off by God and the scriptures. So that's the foundation of what we're basically working with, and that's the foundation I've worked with for a long time. I look for a remedy in the system as it exists, and the civil wars where there is remedy for all of us, but no one's willing to take it because of what's transpired over the last 150 years especially, which is socialism. And that's why I say people love their Marxism, or Americans love their Marxism. And it goes deep, and hopefully we can cover some of those issues today and straighten them out for you. But, yeah, it's been really weird, and it's hard to figure out what's going on. I do want to mention one thing, and I want to read from a document that a lot of people don't trust. Snoops or Snopes or however it's pronounced. Snopes, I think, is the way it's usually pronounced. But it's an article that came out, I don't know, recently. And it was debugging or debating or verifying that Fauci said something back in 2017. And I think this is the center of what people should be looking at as far as what we're dealing with today. And the article did verify that this did happen. So, you know, if you don't trust Snopes, at least, you know, they verified this. So it's true, which is kind of a double approval, if you kind of think about it, when in regard to people not trusting this establishment or this entity. Anyway, this is just one short paragraph. It says, in the spring of 2020, as debate raged over the timeliness and effectiveness of U.S. President Donald Trump's response to the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic, some critics, pointed to an article dating from shortly before Trump's January 2017 inauguration, in which Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, seemingly warned that the incoming president would, no doubt, quote unquote, be faced with a surprise infectious disease outbreak, quote unquote. John, what do you think about that? A surprise.
I guess that's what happened, right? It was a surprise, or is it a non-surprise? is it a plandemic or a scamdemic?
That's what it's telling me flat out.
Oh, yeah, of course. But the thing is did you see where Trump signed an executive order that increased mental health provisions for people during the lockdowns and pretty much gave leeway, you know, more support for the governors who are doing the lockdowns, and that way that the mental health of people during lockdowns will be protected?
Yes, that did happen. But if we look at some of the information I found in the U.S. code, and people aren't aware of this, that these executive orders really came into play after the Civil War, and people don't understand that they've been under martial rule. Not martial law per se, but martial rule is what I term it. And these executive orders have become very popular over the years. And they've been used not only pretty much by the United States, but now the governors are using them. So what I see happening is if you look at what they had planned, they plan for totalitarian dictatorships all over the world. And what most Americans don't understand, that each state is a country. And if they're going to install totalitarian dictatorships, each state is a country, each governor is going to be a dictator. So they're playing with this a little bit, with this COVID, which was planned, no doubt in my mind, based on what Fauci said. We know he's part of this second veil, hidden hand secret society. So this is, you know, Marx, Napoleon, Stalin, all these people were involved with this this secret club. So we know this was planned. So what they're doing is just playing with the American public right now, and I think it's going to get worse unless people start to look at the truth, such as you know, what's going on with this article, for example, and the truth that's out there. And anyway, I'm kind of rambling on. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Now, if anybody wants to challenge me about, you know, Trump signing that executive order and still giving credence to the lockdowns, David Knight covered it very well on InfoWars. And though I have my issues with InfoWars and I have my issues with Alex Jones and his connections to the Council for National Policy and being a New Age Theosophist, however, David Knight's right about a lot of things when it comes to the pandemic that's going on and that our rights are being eroded, whether it's, you know, Trump's in power or, you know, Biden. It's interesting. People be like, well, you know, when Biden gets in power, there's going to be a national mask mandate and you know, all these increased draconian laws. Well, we've had increased, you know, draconian measures of the coronavirus under the Trump administration. Operation Warp Speed is still full speed ahead. The military is involved in the distribution and the manufacturing of the vaccines. The lockdowns are still going on. Trump is, you know, pushing Regeneron, COVID-2 as a gift from God. I mean, what are we supposed to say here? I guess people could make the argument, well, Biden's is going to accelerate the problem. Well, as you and I both said, Mr. Bork, we'd be called purists by certain people and virtue signalers, that communism's already been here. It can't come to something that's already here. It's just right under a veneer of a republic. But I guess if you're going to keep trusting the God Emperor, keep going and doing so. That's your choice. Yeah. That's your prerogative. I'm not voting. I'm not being pulled into the system. Looks like more people are going to vote this election than many decades, it looks like.
Oh, yeah.
Many people got pulled back into the system to vote for their guy as the world order keeps marching on. And yes, I understand. There's a looming grand globalist communist cabal that Biden and Harris are going to push forth if Trump doesn't win. Well, it's been marching on under Trump anyway, okay? I'm sick of it. I'm sick of you guys, not everyone, but there are a lot of people out there. And yes, I understand you can argue that Trump's winning the culture war. And yes, I am a conservative and I understand that argument. That argument I can kind of, you know, jive with. But as far as Trump, you know, not moving on with the world order and, you know, doing what he's told, that's still happening. I mean, as many of you guys are as angry as Hunter Biden with his crack pipe photos and him being with prostitutes and probably underage, like they've been talking about, which is abhorrent, and him getting, you know, payments through Burisma and the Russian government, you guys should be just as equally angry at Jared Kushner, who has more national security privileges than Hunter Biden ever had. But you're not. You're blinded.
John, don't get so upset.
Sorry.
Yeah, just kidding. I get a little worked up too. A couple weeks ago here, I got worked up pretty bad. You were on with me.
And yeah, and the Bidens are as corrupt as they come.
Yeah.
Joe Biden is probably one of the most, if not the most, corrupted senator and later vice president that this country may have ever had. Do not get me wrong by saying this. But if you don't think that the Trump family has their own share of corruption and you don't think Jared Kushner's as corrupt as they come, you're going to rag on Biden and Hunter Biden when Hunter Biden never had security clearance and never worked directly, you know, on the behest of his father in the, you know, the Obama administration, then you need to check yourself. You really do. I mean, Kushner is greatly tied with George Soros. You can look it up. Him and his brother have, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars business dealings with George Soros. But John, George Soros is the ultimate bad guy. How could that be? Well, also, so did Trump. during the 2000s, which has never been shown to be paid back, by the way. And Trump told a Tea Party group in 2011, I'll leave George Soros alone. Just like after the election, he said, I'll leave Hillary Clinton and the Clintons alone. Don't be blinded. Don't be blinded because your political ideology and your conservatism that this guy's for us and that there's going to be any difference except a veneer that Trump's our guy and he's changing and he's taking on the communists. There's nothing going to be no more than that. It's still going on. I'm sorry, it is.
Yes. Speaking of which, Fox, a few weeks back, I don't know, it's probably been a month already, Newt Gingrich was on there and mentioned George Soros and the two girls that were interviewing him on Fox said, oh, we can't talk about him. Just like that. And it was like, Newt was kind of stunned and goes, okay. It was kind of weird. And having said that, it kind of segues nicely into something.
Hold
I
on,
just
Mr. Cole. One last thing on that, though.
Yeah,
as I told you, we talked about, well, yeah, it was all, in my opinion, it was all a school play. It was all theater because sure. Then Tucker Carlson comes out and he talks about George Soros and he gets all the credit. Oh, look, Tucker's our guy. The blue blood Swanson family, the elite, his father was the head of public broadcasting and Voice of America. And you're going to say, Tucker's not a guy you're going to sit down and have a beer with. He's from the 1%. And people turn in and think he's just because he dog whistles and he whispers sweet nothings into your ear that he's telling the truth. He's like the pair.
Did I lose you?
You lost me there for a minute. It's just ridiculous to me. And yeah, I guess that no one's better than us, Mr. Bork. No one's more pure than us, Mr. Bork. No, there are many people out there who are doing good work. But no one that reaches a national platform truly is. They wouldn't have a national platform. Did us as a conspiracy, did us as a movement or us as a people of researchers or whatever you want to call it, Did we forget that? That used to be one of our agreement realities. That if someone reached a national platform, they wouldn't be telling us the truth because they've never got there in the first place. Or because a broken clock is right twice daily and there has to be some truth in propaganda, 90% is what they tell is bullcrap, but 10% is what they say is truth. Okay? You can say that with Jones, for example. But the thing is when did we start throwing that out the window and being like, oh, Sean Hannity's talking about the deep state. He's talking about Biden. He's talking about the communists. He's talking about Antifa and Black Lives Matter. He's talking about George Soros. Sean Hannity, the warmonger, the neocon, the ardent Zionist is somehow now our guy because he's talking about conspiracy theories. Get the heck out of here.
Anyway, thanks for the input there. The addition, the addendum. But the thing I wanted to bring up, and we both know how this game is played. Speaking of Fox, there's an article that came out on the Daily Beast recently, and it was an interview with Murdoch. And I'm not going to read a lot of it, but he said President Trump's influential supporter, Rupert Murdoch, is telling close associates he believes Joe Biden will win the election in a landslide. Really? I don't see that. I know we both are on the same page in regard to what's going on and who's going to win. What's your thoughts on why would he say something like that with all the Trump supporters that are coming out to see him and Joe Biden is pulling no one in, literally. It's a joke.
Just to stir people up. That's all it was.
It's stir people up. Yeah.
Get people to vote. Get people to vote. People buy back into the system. I mean, yep. Sheldon Adelson just gave Trump $95 million to run more ads in battleground states. Sheldon Adelson, you know, the ultra Zionist casino magnate. Mm-hmm. But you know, Trump's our guy. You know, now instead of him funding his own campaign, so, and he didn't actually last in 2016, if you really look into it. he now definitely didn't fund his own campaign. So where was those talking points? Whereas I'm a billionaire, I'm funding my own campaign so people can't buy me out. Well, Sheldon Adelson has donated, what, to 2020 Trump campaign, over $100 million at this point. Are we supposed to be fine with that? We got to go against the Biden machine and the amount of money he's fundraising. Of course. Of course. I'm sorry, yeah, I'm upset, Mr. Bork. I'll try to not be.
That's okay. It's good to get animated about these things because I'm as mad as you, but as I told you in a personal conversation this week, that I'm so mad at these Democrats and how they treated Trump last night. They attack him. And I think the best thing we can say about Trump is he's an outsider. I've said recently that the Democrats are being thrown under the bus, and they are the useful idiots for the true communist insurgents who are the Republicans. The radical Republicans inserted themselves into this governmental system back in 1850 period, and created the Civil War along with the Rothschilds. And they put General Grant in office, whose two terms in office were filled with graft and corruption. And that's the foundation. Speaking of foundations and going back to the original roots and things, that's the foundation of this current government. Graft and corruption. It's been that way. If not from the beginning, it was sketchy, as Mike Gaddy has brought forward. And I knew some of it, but not as much as, of course, Mike has exposed. But, we both, I think all three of us, have gut feelings about these things. As I told you recently and in the past or whatever, that I just look at things on the surface. They're pretty much evident what's going on. But then you start digging into things. It's just connect the dots and things work. So my whole position is this government's been corrupt since day one. It hasn't changed. So what I see going on now is they brought Trump in as an outsider, and it's pissed these people off really bad. And they hate him either way. And then add on top of that all these people in the media that have been brainwashed by the university professors the last 40 years at least, is when they went into this final program of taking over. And like you say, it's theater right now in regard to what Murdoch said, for example. But what are your thoughts on this? I mean, I agree with you on the voting issue. That's basically my foundation for my book and everything, that voting's a crime. They had to get people to participate in rebellion to, put this system in place. So everyone's a criminal right now.
I disagree that Trump is an outsider. I think he was made to look like an outsider.
Sure, yeah, right. I meant politically. He's not part of the Washington, D.C. crew.
Correct, but he was trained by the point. He was trained by the Washington and used by the Washington, D.C. crew. Like his mentor, Roy Cohn, for example, was very much in that Washington, D.C. crew. And, of course, Roger Stone is, too, as well. But, I mean, I mean, there's a speech, you can find it, where Trump literally goes, talks about him actually being an insider, Mr. Bork. Yeah, but he literally spins it to, I'm an insider that's in it, in there battling these people for you.
Right.
I was like, oh, okay. And besides, we saw the picture of Trump being a hidden hander,
Yep.
So
no, it's a game. I guess my, as a purist, look at things from the way they look at it. He hasn't been doing this for 47 years, like Biden, for example. He hasn't been inside making all these political affiliations and being a criminal, directly. So, yeah, I agree with what you just said. No doubt about that.
And I have, some people in comment sections on YouTube, they'll say I'm a purist, or they'll say, I'm a Might as well vote for Biden, John. You're a communist. I'm like, no, I hate them just as much. Don't get me wrong. All right? Like, that's the problem is of all the corruption that the right is doing right now, and it's going unseen because half of the people that should be paying attention are asleep, you know? Because remember when we disliked the conservatives? And even if you were a conservative like myself, you know, person who's woke to the world order, you still, you know, had your own conservative principles, right? But you knew that the conservatives and Congress and the conservative president, like George W. Bush, for example, or even the Supreme Court justices, they were never upheld what you believe in, you know, your Second Amendment rights, freedom of speech, you know, being pro-life, anti-illegal immigration. You know, everybody knew that we were in agreement that they weren't going to ever do anything. It didn't matter who was in office. It didn't matter who was in Congress. It didn't matter who was on the Supreme Court. They'd always slowly chip things away. Now, they might do it more slowly under a Republican or a conservative administration, and they might do it more quickly under a Democrat administration, you know, so more quickly under Obama, less quickly under Bush. But now Trump, again, it's less quickly if you really pay attention. But now very few, half the people or more aren't looking because they think that Trump is the God Emperor, or he's our guy, or he's the only person in the world battling the whole entire global cabal.
Right. Right. Surely it looks like that.
But, and it's sad. It's sad because, you know, things are still marching on. And people say, why don't you, why don't you go vote for Biden? Well, and they say can you address this, Mr. Bork? Us not voting, I guess you have to do it on the break. Let's address when we get back on the break, okay?
You bet. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be back after these station announcements. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. See you in a couple.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point on Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
That's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
troops. Let the magic rise.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Hey, we're back. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. Want to thank Mike Gaddy for coming up with that title. He's not with us today, but I'm with my good friend, John Breeson. John, we're back.
All right, Mr. Bork, I got a question for you then.
Yep.
You and I aren't voting.
I haven't voted in my life.
But you know what I mean. But you know what I mean, though.
Right.
We're not voting. So therefore, my question to you is that a vote for Joseph Biden?
No, it's a vote for freedom, because it's a crime to vote. Anyway, that's
because
my whole thing.
Because I keep getting that, you know, it's like. If you're not voting for Trump, you're voting for Biden. And I'm like, well, can I protest vote because I'm upset of, you know, the Trump administration hasn't fulfilled many of its promises to me?
But vote for yourself, John.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's throwing your vote away, though, a lot of people would say. But you know who had this, and, you know, I never got a chance to meet him, George Carlin. Mm-hmm. He was right. I don't know how much he knew about law. But he was right when he said, people would say, oh, you don't have the right to complain if you don't vote, you know. And I go, he says, I have more of a right to complain. You put these people in office. You're the problem. And that's absolutely right. It goes back to the Declaration of Independence, this consent of the governed. You've hired them as your agent. And like I say about voting, voting's like a box of chocolates. You never know who's going to be screwing you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you get the lesser of two evils. You might get your lesser of two evils, but you still get evil. But you hit upon it last segment about, you know, Trump being maybe more of a soft acceleration compared to Biden, you know, who's going to take guns away and do awful things. And I've heard him say that nothing's going to change if I get in office, really.
I don't think they're ever going to take guns away until maybe end. Because remember Obama said that, and then, you know, ammo sales and gun sales like went through the roof.
Right.
You know, every time it's like, hey, the gun manufacturers, they're making bukus of money every time. Yeah, it's a losing issue. Gun control and abortion are losing issues to the American public. Americans love to have sex, and they love to shoot things. So even though I'm pro-life, it's still a losing issue for the Republicans. It just is. Unless they're in a very heavy Republican-centered area of the United States, then it's kind of safe. But it's the same with gun control for Democrats. It's a losing issue. And remember, Trump enhanced background checks and Trump banned bump stocks. But I guess we're too purist. The reason I'm bringing this up is because I did a stream on Rudolph Giuliani yesterday.
Okay,
because everybody's
that.
Like, Giuliani and Bannon are the ones who got the Hunter Biden laptop supposedly from that guy's computer repair shop. All right. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, why are all these people think Rudolph Giuliani is a good guy? Like, if this was 6 years ago, you guys would be rolling your eyes at this. Or Stephen K. Bannon, for that regard. Do you guys forget that Rudolph Giuliani was mayor of New York City during 9/11 and was complicit of those crimes of 9/11? And also, you know, the New York City not taking care of the first responders afterwards. Like, do people forget the crimes of Rudolph Giuliani? Like, do they just forget it? Is sure it because he reduced the crime in the city and forced all of the Italian mob out, but then the Russian mob replaced the Italian mob? Oh, no, we don't talk about that either, do we? But, you know, now all of a sudden, because, you know, Giuliani is pro-Trump, he's Trump's illegal counsel, they're going after him. They're trying to smear Giuliani with Russiagate and Ukrainegate. All of a sudden, everybody forgets all that Rudolph Giuliani's did. All the horrible – this guy is deep swamp dweller as they come, only out for himself, all right? And now all of a sudden – he's, but John, he's striking against Biden with this information on the laptop. And yes, Hunter Biden is a piece of human garbage. All right. Don't get me wrong when I'm saying this, but that also does not make Rudolph Giuliani not a piece of human garbage either. Like, that's the thing is, I go, well, the stuff on the laptop, it's interesting. It's more proof of the crimes of the Bidens. No one's really going to care. You might sway maybe a handful of independents to vote for Trump if that's your goal. But outside of that, the people that are going to vote for Biden and have already voted for Biden could give two craps less. All right. They don't care. They don't care. Like, just like the Trump supporters, when Trump said he could shoot somebody on one of the streets in New York City, I don't remember what, and people would still vote for him. All right. Well, it's the same with Biden. The Bidens can do whatever they want. The Democrats don't care. They're still going to vote for him anyway. These are people who have strict ideologies of whom they're going to vote for based off of their platforms, not necessarily what the person does. They're ideologues.
So, not even a platform. It's brainwashing.
Yeah.
It's their team.
Yes, exactly. Rah, rah, go team. So because of that, you know, I'm sitting here going, well, yes, information on Hunter Biden, that's great to have. It needs to be out there. We need to show how corrupt the Bidens are. But at the same time, we shouldn't be giving Rudolph Giuliani, who Stephen K. Bannon calls America's mayor, a pat on the back and say, good job, Rudy. Good job.
It's the lesser of two criminals, right?
Ah, yeah. Okay. The lesser of two criminals. My bad. I'm actually going to take that from you, Mr. Bork. That's actually great, by the way. Lesser of the two criminals are still criminals, sir. You know, it's just when did, as a truth movement or as a people, when all of a sudden are we just, you know, oh, well, since they're against Biden and they're against Giuliani and Giuliani's helping Trump, therefore we forgive everything he's ever done and don't think that Giuliani's still not up to no good. He is. And be like, oh, okay, he's a good guy now. He's absolved from all of his previous wrongdoings. Did Rudolph Giuliani ever come out and say that 9/11 was an inside job? Did he ever come out and say that he was involved with it with Bernard Kurik, who, by the way, Trump pardoned Bernard Kurik, that Rudolph Giuliani was in bed with Bernard Kurik in Israel, and that part of 9/11? I don't see him on national TV making amends for that. So how is he our guy just because he put forth this laptop? By the way, everybody who got mad at Bob, you know, Bob Woodward was sitting on all this evidence for his book, okay? Well, they've been sitting on that laptop information since December of last year. Why does it come out now in the middle of October as an October surprise? They could have disqualified Biden if it was such bombshell information when he was running against the commie Bernie Sanders, but they didn't.
Yeah, they use him as a play tool. Sanders, he's the resident communist. And you know,
as he has got his big mansions and all his cars, you know,
right? Right. Just like that idiot. Who's that fat guy that does all the movies?
Michael Moore.
Michael Moore. Thank you. You know, that guy's in a big ass mansion. He probably needs a big ass mansion to get his big ass in. But you know, I have a friend that's liberal. I don't know how these people think. They don't. They have no, you know, it's like the government's fascist, therefore socialism. It's like there's the only default, you know, they've been programmed to think that way. And you know, anyway, Moore's, he's rich. You know, I don't see him giving money to anyone. You know, did you see that blow up with Wolf Blitzer and Pelosi this week?
Yeah, I saw.
What it's a joke.
It's just more theater for the masses.
Yeah, but don't you think the left is throwing Pelosi under the bus?
To some degree, they are. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, they want to get rid of her, it seems like.
Well, yeah, because she's old world order, and they have to have the new left, probably spearheaded by people like AOC, for example. You know, right. I mean, well, it is what it is.
I look at her as a useful idiot, or the Democrats especially. Remember I said that the Republicans are the true communist here. You know, the Democrats were turned into Marxist tools or liberal tools to look like the bad guys. And now they're just throwing these people under the bus. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. Like I said, according to, you know, their own information or what they had planned, they're going for one party totalitarian dictatorships. And that might just be show as a scare tactic. But like I said, all planks of the Communist Manifesto are applied to America. They were solidified over 50 years ago. So all we're seeing now is Marxist theater to keep the game going, make it look like something's happening, or keep people involved. Like you mentioned, that I presumed is the voter registration is higher right now than it's ever been, probably ever been. Because if you go back before the Civil War, no one was voting. It was kind of like the Amish. I found out the Amish are even voting now, which is kind of sad. The Amish just did their thing on their land and was local community. And they didn't care who was president or running the state because they just did their thing. But everything today is politics. And I'd like to read what I just written recently, but there's something that the Illuminati supposedly put out a while back. And they said basically a study of the human species between 1600 and 1700 AD concluded that the human mammal opposes all authority or restraints of freedom. However, if the human is allowed to believe that they themselves have chosen leaders and laws, they will accept authority without rebellion. And I don't know, this is off IlluminatiOfficial.org. I don't know if that's a real website or a real Illuminati, but I can tell you that that is true. That statement or quote is true. That's how this works. People have been conned into voting for their oppression. And you mentioned the abortion thing. You can't legislate morality, and that's what they've done here. You know,
not in a secular country, it's impossible.
No, it's secular. That's right. This whole system is secular, and this mixed race and mixed religion nonsense is an easier way to control people.
So, what do you think is going to happen next, sir? What do you think is going to happen next?
I really think Trump's going to get in. If not, there's going to be a war that you never even fathomed, I believe. Because the silent majority is going to get really ticked if Biden gets in. And I don't know if you've seen it, that they're already setting up, Pelosi's setting up to get Biden out of office if they do win. Oh, did you read that document? The left's plan. They got four different plans in case they lose or if the election's
I'm sorry, I know you shared it with me, but I didn't get a chance to read it yet.
Yeah, John Wayne of the station found that, I believe. I don't know if it was John Wayne or Mr. Rowe, but one of those two dug that up, and I found it interesting. It might be more theater. You know, you can't tell what these people are doing. You know, it's a big game. And it gets back to what I found the courts say about de facto government. And you know, it's not only their ability to establish the government, which they did with the Civil War, via force, rather. They did it with force, and that's part of the communist doctrine. Everything they do to progress their movement has to be done with force. And the United States, or the states, lost about a million people in that war. So that's your force under the communist doctrine. And they started implementing communist principles right away with that. And even before that, they were practicing doing away with the country and nationality principle, even though the states are still under that under the Constitution. Article 1 is where you can find it. And if anyone's interested, you can read my material. You don't even have to buy my book, but Article 1's where the integrity of internationalism or the international aspects of the states is found. And even their nationalities are found there. But one thing that communism does away with is countries and nationalities, as I've said before. And that's what people have to start taking back. That's what they've stolen, to control people. And that's why they had to get them to rebel by voting to take their all natural rights away and control them through the not only the legislation of D.C. and the de facto states, but also through the court system, like this Roe v. Wade decision that everyone's worried about, which is really stupid. You know, these people are so ignorant and jerked around like, you know, animals on a leash. It's really sad that they're so ignorant that they don't understand this. But anyway, I digress, I suppose.
Yeah, I think.
But where's it going next? Who knows? It's going to be a mess. This election, any way you look at it, it's going to be a nightmare. And that's what they planned. Like that comment by Murdoch, you know. In another place, he said the American people are ready for Sleepy Joe. And based on what I just said, maybe they are. You know, I don't think it's going to go that way. It doesn't fit what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, based on revelations, as you and I have discussed.
Yeah, I don't know what's next, you know. I mean, I guess I just want the election to hurry up and be over.
Yeah, no kidding. So we can get on with our plan or what we have to do, right?
Yeah, I mean, you think it's going to be over anytime soon? I mean,
No. I really think they're going to carry this on. Trump's, you know, said so in so many words. You know, Hillary Clinton's out there saying, don't concede no matter what, you know. Well, what's that supposed to mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
They get, like I said, they got this four-step plan or four-tiered plan that is going to take place, supposedly, which is more destruction and chaos. You know, that friend I mentioned, he goes, he'd join Antifa, but he can't find out where to join. And I go, really? You're going to go out and burn people's businesses down?
Yeah,
they're not fascists. They're your neighbors, and they have small business. What are you, an idiot?
Yeah, but we know
they don't think like I said. These
we
liberals.
Know we know even with Antifa though, you're going to have a certain amount of government agent provocateurs.
Oh, there are.
Just like you have with you know that kidnapping plot with Whitmer and Northam. And you look at those eight men, you know, and none of them look like, you know, they're not paramilitary. You know, they try to, you know, put them as conspiracy theorists, white nationalists that were going to kidnap, you know, Governor Whitmer from Michigan and Ralph Northam from Virginia. And you look at these guys and you're like, these guys couldn't do anything outside of a wet paper bag for the most part. They're overweight. They're out of shape. You know, they're not paramilitary at all. And they have anarchy flags everywhere. You know, these aren't 3%ers. These are likely, you know, people that were just, you know, a group of guys that got together and they got set up by the FBI And then the FBI raided them and like, oh, look at us. We're so self. I mean, how many times has this happened, Mr. Bork? How many times?
No, I got involved in that sting type crap with the federal government back in the 90s. We had a peaceful organization or association of people. And they sent FBI agents in to get us to blow up buildings and stuff.
Yeah,
luckily,
there you go.
Luckily, the leader or you know, the guy that was running the organization at the time had contacts with police, databases, and we found out who they were, and they got kicked out. This whole thing is set up. That's, you know, I know from experience what needed to be done with People's Awareness Coalition. That's why I set up the mission statement as I did, to deter any leftist bullshit that these guys try to pull, which is always they try, like Trump. What the hell? This are you against white supremacy? They keep asking him that over and over and,
he, and
over
he
again.
Said it multiple times. He has been.
Yeah.
They keep
so these people are insane. The leftist. That's why it kind of makes you side with Trump, because these leftists are so insane. That town hall last night was a joke.
I know, but then again, Mike, is it by design that way, sir? That's my counter to that.
According to people like Murdoch and the people that pull the strings, the rich, the elite, but the woman that, what was her name? Savannah something?
Savannah Guthrie.
Yeah, I have no idea who that is. I didn't know her until last night. And I'm looking at this woman saying, you're an evil bitch. You know, that's all there is to it. You know, and these people don't know what they're doing. They don't know they're being tools of an agenda. They think because they're programmed to think it.
I mean, Biden last night said, you know, and I heard him, you know, during his town hall, because I was slipping back and forth between the both of them, right? That he was like, yeah, I support 8 to 10 year old child being able to declare themselves transsexual. I mean, that's sick.
That goes against common law. You know, that's why people have to start taking their nationalities back. There's a maximum law that says the law sometimes sleeps but never dies. People are letting these leftists, you know, take their law form away from them. And that's what this white supremacist crap is all about. It's to destroy what once was in America and, you know, everything around the world, because these people that are in control know that the Western culture was very strong, and they were grounded in Christianity, and they're very strong, and they have to break that. I'm talking about the synagogue of Satan has to break that. And that's all this badgering is about, this white supremacy crap. They're trying to destroy the law form we once had and cover it up. That's a fact. And like we noticed last segment that these guys are just trying to keep their secular order going. And like I've said for years now, if you're not on the same page spiritually and with politics, you're going to be controlled by a man or government. And that's all there is to it. And that's why the so-called chosen ones need to mix everything up so they can control it. Control it to statutorily or through their law systems. So-called civil law. Anyway, sorry, get off my soapbox. We only got a couple of minutes left of this hour. What do we want to carry on to or go into next hour, maybe? Continue on this Trump train?
I mean, we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. I mean, it's up to you. I mean, I
tend to sound like a broken record, but even I get crap from the other host of the station. They go, why can't you talk about things that are more current and whatever. And I go, I figured out what was wrong 20 years ago, and no one seems to be interested in a remedy. People just want to talk about shit. I get tired of it. When are you people going to do something and stop talking about, you know, National Enquirer type gossip? You know, I know, John, I appreciate what you do because at least you go into the bad guys and, you know, who's who and find out who's who so you can connect dots. That's admirable. You know, I admire that. But it's time to say shit or get off the pot.
Yeah.
These people aren't doing anything. They just like to talk. Oh, look what these guys did. Look what he did. This, that. Yeah, I'm forced into watching it because looking at those things because no one wants to do anything. You know, I've had the motto of forget about what they're doing. Let's do what we need to do. Mm-hmm. PAC's mm-hmm. been on an offense for 22 years. And these people, anytime anyone gets in trouble, it's a defensive move. But that's not how sports works. But it's how lazy people work. Or unintelligent people.
No, you want to talk about big tech next hour?
Yeah, we can. That makes me sick. We can talk about that.
It makes me sick too. But today is we're talking about things. We're airing our grievances. It must be Festivus. That's a joke, by the way.
Yeah.
And we're talking about things that make us sick. You know, all of it makes me sick. It just the whole thing makes me sick. So
no, the show is Dare to Think Out Loud, not Dare to Be Sick. But you have to be sick these days. I just can't believe what's going on. People putting up with it. But you know, let's talk about it. It'll get fixed. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back after these station announcements. Be back for hour two in a few minutes.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number three is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
Well, we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne. And I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition one, as we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in. And I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for the unequivocal truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
Anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a civil majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. Oh, what? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio! Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Hey, it's your host, LB Bork. This is Dare to Think Out Loud, hour two of the broadcast. October 16th is the date. Glad you could join us. John and I are alone today. Our other compadres had to do other things. Anyway, we'll be back with us hopefully next week. Today we're talking about the Trump anomaly. It's kind of weird what's going on. People are probably confused. Even John and I, to a point, we don't know what to expect, but we know what the program is, what the goal is. And I pretty much centered it down to what Clinton said a few years ago. It's the economy, stupid. That's all it's about. The left versus right now is just a theater, and it's been that way for a long time. It's Marx's ruling class. It's in power. World communism is the goal. And as we've seen, Trump has backed off world communism a bit. He's bringing things back home. And, of course, the Democrats are getting blamed for all these bad things that have happened over the last 20, 30, 40 years. And there's a dog and pony show going on right now. But as John mentioned last hour, we want to talk a little bit about technology and how that's being used to manipulate people and control things, and everyone's worried about the Democrats my mouth works some days. The Democrats taking over, and I don't know if that's going to happen. John, what do you have to say about this? Do you think they're going to take over with this election because of technology?
I mean, anything's possible. I don't know, it's...
There's
operations being run. Sorry, I don't know what that was, like a hiccup or something. But there's operations being run both on the right and the left to get them to steer up, to get them to vote, to get them to buy back into the system. And you had Cambridge Analytica in 2016 running their psychographics to get people like myself who voted for Donald Trump, who fell for, you know, certain phrases like lock her up and build a wall. They're still going on, you know, those operations are still going on in 2020. Big tech, yes, censorship, as strong as it is, it is a problem. But did we never think that this is something that was going to happen, right? Especially, and you almost got to wonder, you know, they've been taking people down who have spoken, you know, truthful things throughout the years on the internet. But did anybody stop and think that the manner of which they're doing it now, and they could have done it at any point in given time because they control the internet, right? If they didn't want you to know something or read about something or hear about something or see something, well, you're not going to see it. I mean, as Jimmy Jean and Epic Juryman have talked about from Into the Microcosm, that the AI that these search engines use, for example, they do, you know, depending on a person's prior search history and information about themselves, it steers you to, you know, what you're going to find. You know, if someone, You know, you could put in a search term, for example, Mr. Bort, and I could put on a search term, for example, we could get some completely different results from that. So, you know, it becomes an issue at that point, because with everything that's been going on with people being banned, and trust me, they're going to, you know, ban us, like, you know, probably going to ban me on YouTube eventually anyway, right? I mean, that's what's going to end up happening, and I'm not going to be happy about it, but again, it's all platforms censor, all platforms moderate and ban. There's not one website on the internet that doesn't do that. But then you can argue whether or not they're a utility because they're giving a public platform. So therefore, they can't go against the First Amendment. Well, they are still private companies at this time period, and you have to label them as public utilities as such. But then once you label something a public utility, aren't you moving more towards a statism argument at that point? So, I mean, it's very complex.
It's not really complex as a matter of law, because the Constitution allows for Congress to regulate commerce, and these entities that are doing this are taking corporate benefits. The Congress can do anything they want with these people. They have no rights.
But they're not going to do anything, though.
They won't, because the system is set up that way. That was part of the 14th Amendment, giving corporations extraordinary rights.
So when
it enslaved people and basically brought people down to the same level as a legal entity that a corporation is. But so because of their power, they overpower the people.
Yeah. And so when you see...
and corrupt politicians, of course, go along with that.
True. You're right about that. And when you see, you know, the QAnon purge yesterday that happened... you know, a lot of you know, they could have stopped QAnon if it was really a threat. You know, the same day that they purged the QAnon people, many of them from YouTube, was the same day that they had a House Intelligence Committee briefing on conspiracy theories and how they're a problem within the United States. And so you have and you know, the whole Hunter Biden banning people who are sharing the information out there from the New York Post, which is run by Murdoch, by the way.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes. So you have, and again, him saying Trump's losing, but then again, that it's
then he exposes Biden.
Yeah, funny how that works.
Yeah.
But the thing is so you have, all you know, the censorship of people being banned for sharing that. Okay, so. It comes to this. Why is it now? Okay, so, sir, you've been in the game for about 3 decades, give or take, right?
Yeah, a little less.
So you remember when you used to talk about these things with people and they would just call you, you know, crazy, you know, like my father used to call me that. And then when I came around, which was 2008, people accepted some conspiracy theories, like 9/11 by that point to some degree, or the JFK assassination, which some people did, the JFK assassination. If I started talking about the Bilderberg group or, you know, globalism, well, they would just kind of look at me weird and be like, ah, that's kind of like conspiracy theory talk. Yeah, it's insanity, you know. Well, now in 2020, there are quite a many people who know about conspiracies and everything, and the quote-unquote Great Awakening, which is Gnostic New Age theosophy in of itself, right? So now you have to ask yourself, okay, why are they letting the secrets out? And to what end?
They had to. It's like the Illuminati. I was given a book that exposed the Illuminati back in the mid-1990s, and that book was banned in America.
But are they?
What are they going to do with the internet being open? You know.
But was it for this purpose, Mr. Bort? And that they're going to make, you know, everyone be aware of the deep state, but it's going to be a control awareness that they're only, you know.
Well, of course,
throwing these people out and making these people to be the enemy, And then they're like, you know, go after them. And then they destroy the old world order. And then you're left with, you know, the new world order that's benevolent and taking care of you. And
right.
You know, like, is that the end game? Is that what they're going towards? You know, I mean, it sounds silly.
They had to have a transition. And I met this young waitress. I don't know. It must have been 10 years ago already. She said, I did a paper about the Illuminati for my senior class or whatever it was. And I go, wow, that's pretty neat. And, you know, after a while, I started realizing that these people were fed a line that these it's a joke. You know, it's something Lady Gaga makes fun of or does whatever. That's how they handled this thing that was totally secretive and they didn't want people to know about. They turned it into a game or something interesting for these kids to play with. Like it doesn't exist or it's our friend or whatever. I even saw, who's it, Tom Hanks' kid. He has a big Illuminati or the Eye of Horus on his chest, I think it was. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just out of touch with what's really going on. And yeah, you're right. They're going into the new age of Aquarius, and they're going into the new world order. And it's a new world, you know what was said about it. A brave new world. Huxley said that.
Yeah.
Yep. Everyone's brainwashed as sheep, and they have no idea what's going on. I've heard that the millennials have been polled, and about 3/4 of them believe that the elite should own everything, which is going on. You know, you have people like the CEO of Nestle saying that corporations have the right to all water in the world. People don't have the right to it. That's ridiculous. That's so they can make money off it and profit. That goes back to what Clinton said about it's the economy, stupid. That's what communism was meant to do. That's, you know, turn people into human resources. That's what the Communist Manifesto does. And create a workforce for the elite or the corporations. That was the plan. And it's worked very well. You know, the United States is the most successful installation of it because people are clueless. Anyway, yeah. I sound like a broken record, but I knew what was going on over 20 years ago. So no one's interested in fixing it. They just want to, you know, get on Twitter and complain about things and be right about their team winning.
Now, I'm not right about my team, but I do say I go on Twitter and complain about things. So I gotta.
Well, there was a you know, I got kicked off. I lost Packet lost four, I think four accounts, maybe five, from Twitter. I lost two Facebook accounts. I had less than 5,000 friends, and my memes were getting 10,000 shares. Some of them, the good ones, of course. Back in, you know, when Facebook first came out or first couple years, I didn't want to go on there. I was yanked into it due to having to defend myself and People's Awareness Coalition because it was getting trashed and infiltrated by operatives, you know, and stupid people. So I had to go on there and got stuck in there. It's kind of like the Hotel California. You check in and never leave. But they finally had enough of my truth, so they kicked me out. So that was years ago on Facebook. Twitter, last couple of years, they kicked me out. These people are upset about getting banned today. I was banned a long time ago because we tell the truth, you know, John and I, meaning, or People's Awareness Coalition, the people that work with me. We're about truth, you know.
Yeah, I'm not about, you know, enhancing your cognitive biases. I'm here to break it down,
yeah,
whether you like it or not. We don't always get it right, you know, but we do our best to, Mr. Bork.
I mean, you can. That's all you can do. Yeah. Yeah, people say, oh, you're anti-Semitic. No, I'm about truth. You're so brainwashed, you know.
So what do you think about the Q the Q purge and it leading to some sort of Barbara Streisand effect. You know what the Barbara Streisand effect is, right?
Yeah, you told me that the other day. And why don't you explain it to folks in case they don't know what it is?
Okay, so I'm pretty sure I don't have to explain who Barbara Streisand is, right? I'm pretty sure I have to explain who she is. So there was a house, her house. It was in Malibu, California. And there was a picture done by like one of those like a Coastal Records project, kind of like a leftist organization to kind of document like the California coast, the recession that's happening there, like the erosion, and so she sued them. After many ceasing desist letters to get them to take down that picture of her estate, right? So when, you know, it wasn't until that made national news that ended up becoming she didn't sue. She just sent them cease and desist letters, but it ended up becoming national news because of that. That, you know, once before were like 5 or 10 people saw. Millions of people saw them because they're like, okay, so what is this about? Actually, no, it was a $50 million lawsuit. Okay, I was right. It's a $50 million lawsuit for a violation of privacy. So because that became national news, everybody saw the picture then. So it's the same with the QAnon stuff is, you know, they've kept it around for a long time. And, you know, and now since they've suppressed it, people are going to be like, And then the same day, you know, Trump gets asked about it again, another confirmation. The same day this purge, Trump gets asked about it by Guffey. And, you know, Trump, you know, says, well, I don't know anything about them, even though he's been asked about QAnon. He's seen them on, like, he would have had to know, and he lied. He flat out lied. And he was like, but if they're fighting against the deep state and the satanic pedophiles, then they got to be a good thing. And, you know, that again brings credence. Trump says that on the town hall on NBC, and the same day you have this purge. So it's a Streisand effect. They don't want you to look at QAnon propaganda. So therefore people start looking at it. It's like when InfoWars was deplatformed and it steered everyone to download the InfoWars app so they could listen to Alex Jones. Well, they were mining a crap ton of data on that app that they weren't previously having access to as much of people just visiting the website or on YouTube or listening to TalkStream Live, Alex Jones. Okay? So the moment that happened, InfoWars and the CMP, you can go look for yourself. There's a company called Response Unlimited. It's run by Philip Zadantes, member of the Council for National Policy. On that website, they have numerous lists of pro First Amendment, pro Second Amendment, people who've signed up for like what they say, quote unquote, anti-Semitic magazines like Willis Carto's Spotlight from the Liberty Lobby and everything like that. All those magazines lists your data, if you ever purchased it, your address can all be bought up for anybody to use. The CMP sold you out. They sold you out to the highest bidder. So
is that for commercial purposes, marketing?
Yes.
For the most part. It's the economy, stupid.
But interestingly enough, is the Southern Poverty Law Center gets hold of those lists all the time.
Right, and then put you on the list. Yeah, Southern Poverty Law Center. I ran into them. Morris D's established that. Charming society or whatever. Back in the 90s is when I ran into them. It didn't take me 9 months of being in the movement to understand what their deal was, because they were really against Second Amendment rights at that time. Of course, I got into the movement based on constitutional issues, and I was involved with, you know, Second Amendment type, you know, interest. So that's where I got into things for the most part. A lot of people back in the 90s didn't want to pay their taxes. I knew the IRS was a problem, but that wasn't my main interest. For whatever reason, I got involved in Second Amendment issues. But yeah, it didn't take me long to figure out Rush Limbaugh was a windbag and false. It took me about 9 months. It took me about 9 months to figure out Southern Poverty Law Center was bad. So yeah, they've changed quite a bit. Here's one for you. People's Awareness Coalition used to be on their blacklist or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. It's not on there anymore.
They don't give you credence.
Yeah. That my friend says, "Oh, you're not a threat." No, I don't think it's that at all. They know that I'm safe and I'm telling the truth. They don't want people to know that. They can't, peg People's Awareness Coalition as a fruitcake organization.
No, they don't want the Streisand effect. They don't want people looking you
yeah,
up.
Yeah, right. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, that ties in with that. So yeah, they took me off. Took People's Awareness Coalition off. It's too bad because everyone else is distracted with these other things. And as far as I'm concerned, people have wasted 20 years. And it's gone. And speaking of tech, it took them about, as far as I'm concerned, you know, the internet came into existence, of course, back in the early 90s. But it really wasn't available to people till about 2000, 1998, somewhere in there. That's when I got on it, and it took them about 10 years, 12 years to figure out what they had to do. Of course, Facebook or social media was that fix-it for getting people, you know, rounded up and distracted with bullshit. I've heard a lot of people saying social media recently, that social media has been destroyed America. And I have no doubt or have no argument against that because I agree with it. Yeah, Facebook and Twitter. When Twitter came out, it really wasn't political, was it, John? Do you remember?
I don't think so, no. I think it was like Facebook.
No, Facebook. It was social, you know, just what are you doing for dinner or what'd you make for dinner type stuff. And then it turned political, didn't it?
Yeah,
that's what I see it as. Isn't it like 80% political anymore?
I mean, it's probably more than that now. It's probably all it is.
Yeah. Jack Dorsey, I'd like to meet him someday.
I mean, when I'm looking at, even if I look at health, you know, people talking about health, well, they're also talking about politics, you know? I mean, I guess it's where we are. That's all we care about now, you know, it's politics. That's all I see on Facebook. That's all I see on Twitter.
Really? On Facebook even?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Keep in mind, I got kicked off there about 4 or 5 years ago. So I haven't been on there. I don't even visit it. Mr. Rowe posts Twitter pages from time to time, but I look at them. Sometimes I can't get on them because they're private or whatever. But I really don't. You know, I try not to look at what these people are doing. It goes back to my rule. Forget about what they are doing. Let's do what we need to do. You know, I've had that for years, that motto. Because everything out there is distraction. That's what they've done with the internet for the most part. There's been no time in history that people of the world have had that tool to organize and get something accomplished. But they're not using it for that. They're using it for being distracted by the people that control them.
Arguing about stuff.
You know, yeah, it's divide and conquer. Just like the political parties, divide and conquer.
I remember when the internet used to be about Hollywood and sports. I'm not saying those are good things. I'm just saying that's what a lot of it used to be about. You know, even back, if you look back at the early 2010s, right? A lot of it was, you know, fantasy football and right. Hollywood gossip. And no, those aren't good things, but that's what it was. And now it's, I would say, you know, accelerated during the Obama administration. And yeah. Definitely under Trump, it's now just politics and which team are you on? And, rah rah go team and it's a problem. It's a real bad problem. I'm not going to say that you and I don't succumb to it sometimes, you know, because you do. You read something, especially both of us being, you know, a lot more on the right on our as far as like our social ideologies, you know. So we're sitting here, and you know, when you read the leftists and how insane they are, and I'm not going to say that it doesn't make you mad, you know. We have people going around saying, "Well, my 7-year-old son can transition," you know. They're not even old enough to make any decisions, you know, at that point. Like,
No, they're not. It's like, you know, when tattoos and piercings came into existence years ago, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, these parents are getting their kids' ears pierced, and they say, well, they're not old enough to make that decision, but their parents are doing it for them. And technically, well, as a matter of law, their children are their property until they're emancipated. And that's the same terms they used with the slaves. Their property, you know, your property of your parents until they kick you out of the nest, for lack of better words.
And we're not saying that, you know, because your children are under your care that you, like, and they're your property, quote unquote, that you can abuse them or anything like that. Don't get it, you know, wrong by saying
well,
that.
Well, yeah, well,
we are supposed to raise them right, and parents are supposed to know what's best for their children, you know, as long as they're not grossly being horrific people, you know. But the state
that gets back to natural law and Christianity, as far as I'm concerned.
True.
So anyway, didn't mean to interrupt. But...
Gene from Into the Microcosms listening, and he messaged me: when the end is near, the common man will have access to the knowledge of kings.
Sure. On that note, we got the last break of the program today. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. Thanks for listening. Be back in a few minutes with more. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning, and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
Hey, all right, let's show them what we got here.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, we're back, folks. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. My name's L.B. Bork. Got my good friend John Breeson with me, and I want to thank Jimmy, who has mentioned the end of last hour. For introducing us. Thanks, Jimmy.
Yes. Yes.
And hope you're doing well, Jimmy. Jimmy's on the station here, too. Got a great, great programming mind, man. He does a good show. How long have you known Jimmy, John?
It's been going on almost a year now.
Is that all? Really? That's not that long.
Yeah, it's been about a year, maybe a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, Jimmy and Epic Into the Microcosms, excellent show. He has Brandy on there with him too, sometimes. And Jimmy's very good at producing. He's very good at interacting with his audience, very good with collating information and looking at it, from a very good view. So yeah, definitely. I'm pretty sure people are listening to the station and heard Jimmy, but just shout out to, you know, Jimmy, Epic and Brandy. Thank you guys for all that you guys do.
Yep. And the station, like Hawk said during the break, it's listener supported. So if you could help us out, go to freedomslips.com. Go to the website and find either the donate button at the top of the page, or we have Patreon. Or you can do it the old fashioned way. Still love that to death. The post office has pretty much become extinct since the electronic age has taken over. Or the internet. But yeah, it's more private, believe it or not. There's no privacy with the internet, but that's part of the program. Anyway, I wanted to talk maybe a little bit about Lincoln, one of our, someone that's been listening to me quite a while. He's with the station, but he's not on the station. His name's Brian. He talked about Lincoln. He ran into someone yesterday. It talked about Lincoln and the period. And he said, Lincoln reconstructed slavery for a hashtag. And that's true. I've talked to a lot of black people in the past, even in the 90s, that said reconstruction or, you know, when they really, Lincoln emancipated the slaves, speaking of about emancipation. Lincoln really created a new slavery, and Karl Marx and his associates even sent Lincoln a thank you letter for doing so, because, you know, behind the scenes or unknowns to people, what Lincoln did is bring the slaves into the sheepfold of Zionist slavery. Or the chosen ones, whatever you want to call them, synagogue of Satan. You know, people are paying anywhere from like 20% to 50% of their wages in Marxist income tax. And you see the politicians argue about that today. And the Republicans, you know, want to keep the taxes low on corporations. But, you know, the people are paying their operating expenses. This is one thing I noticed early on is when I read the Federalist Papers, I noticed Hamilton said, oh, the people that should be voting should be landowners. And of course, this is a long time ago, because they would have the interest in keeping the taxes on their property low. So they would get a trick to get them to vote and be, you know, constituents of the guys that are controlling the profits for the elite. Zionism, you know, there weren't Zionists back then, but it was the same faction of people. You know, the people are letting them get away with this. They're slaves, but they have free range to do what they want until this pandemic. Now they're confined into their slave huts that they don't own. It's part of Marxism. People think they own their own property. They don't.
You can't pay property taxes if you don't pay your
Don't pay your property taxes. See what happens. And that gets back to what I'm saying, that the industrialist or the capitalist has to find a way to pawn off his operating expenses on the population he does business with. And that's what basically Hamilton was talking about. They wanted to eliminate the borders of the states so they didn't have to pay import and export taxes between the states. If you were like the Amish, for example, today, they don't have exports between the states. They do their own thing on their property or their farms, and they live. So they're a self-contained community, which could care less about who's president. Really, they've been conned into it lately, like John was mentioning last segment. You know, everyone's voting now and talking politics. Amish are even being dragged into it. That's why one of my favorite movies is The Village by Shyamalan. M. Night Shyamalan, is it? Kind of a strange movie. It's kind of a double-edged sword. It tears you one direction and pulls you the other direction, you know, in two different directions. And the direction is the end of the movie. They needed some medicine, so this woman had to go out into the real world. And they didn't even know that there was another world. So that was the most amazing. I don't want to spoil the movie for you, but you have to watch it because it blew me away, because I thought it was taking place back in the 1800s or something like that. But it was modern time. And, you know, they needed the medicine. So Shyamalan was kind of saying, well, if you isolate yourselves, you don't get the modern conveniences of civilization or whatever. But these people isolated themselves to be in the world and not of it. And that's from the Bible. And I just think the movie is pretty neat. And as far as these modern remedies or, you know, medical, Western medicine, I don't know if we really need it. I think it's maybe made lives better. But today we need a balance. But back to my point about people being slaves, they're slaves. They don't get it. Taking money at the income source of your labor, that's just plain slavery or theft. And I didn't like this saying or hashtag that was going out a few years ago about taxation is theft. Mm-hmm. Well, that taxation is theft, income tax. For the labor, but you need taxes. And the New World Order, from what I've gathered, you know, they want to do away with import-export taxes. And every tax is going to be on the individual, so-called citizen. And these people are going to keep getting away with murder. You're going to keep manufacturing these billionaires like what's his name that owns Amazon, Bezos. It's going to keep getting worse unless people put an end to it. And these people in Congress aren't going to do it. And, you know, I look at Trump as, you know, maybe a foot in the door to get something done.
Yeah.
But people have to do it. He's not going to do it unless they're pushed. I've said this time and time again about Jack McLam. Do you know much about him, John?
Jack McLam? I mean, Jack McLam was a Council for National Policy member for during the 1990s. I know that you've talked a lot about him. And he was kind of, you know, he was a former police officer.
Right.
And he was very big in the Patriot, you know, part of the truth movement. I try to think there's one of the cases that he was involved with that someone told me that I was looking into that he was in part of a movie. Man, I wish I could remember the guy's name. But some people were wondering if Jack McLam was there just to set him up. So,
no. Yeah, that was Bo Greitz, too, of the 90s. He was an ex-military SEALs or Special Forces. I don't remember. But, sometimes you got to give people the benefit of the doubt. You know, as we've seen, Trump might be with these people. What is it, CNP, you said?
Yeah, Scouts for National Policy.
Yeah. Maybe they just belong to it because they think it's American, you know. As we see, Trump's bringing back jobs and some of the things that were shipped overseas, which, you know, like I've said before, I've seen him fixing world communism and bringing it back to America, but he's done nothing about communism in America. And I don't think they will. I don't even know if some of these people understand what it is. You know, it's basically just an economic blueprint, but it was put forth by the Zionists to control, people's economies, their states' economies, their personal economies. And that's what's happened. I got questioned about, oh, we're not communists. They haven't taken our guns yet. And I go, that's not communism. That's totalitarianism.
Yeah.
These people don't even know the difference, you know, between this and that is my point. They believe communism is communism based on the totalitarian factors that the elite have made them see or think about. And, you know, even Jimmy said, you know, he was wondering about communism. I go, communism, even in America, would work if you had uncorrupt politicians. Because look at America, how well it did during the 20th century. I mean, if these New World Order people weren't using Americans as slaves, America would be rich. But they were shipping all our money to Israel. The second half of the 20th century, for example, and they're industrializing all these other countries for world communism for the elite to make money with. If we were able to keep our money, we'd be sitting pretty under, you know, communistic, planks or whatever. And the problem is the corporations, which was part and parcel of the 14th Amendment and Reconstruction, and the damn politicians, but mostly people's ignorance and not guarding what was going on. But that was all planned too. That's why I say that communism was designed to do exactly what it's doing. It's been used to rape people of America and people of the world and control their economies and keep them enslaved to the elite. Now I catch my liberal friend and I caught him again the other night contradicting himself because he just preaches liberalism and instead of thinking about what's really going on.
Yeah.
Based on, you know, oh, He's told me time and time again, well, Russia wasn't communist, but he said they were communist. I go, I thought you said they weren't. they were fascist. Well, you know, that shut him up and he changed the subject. So that my point is that people don't know what they're talking about for the most part. And like I've said before, I started learning and finding the truth out when I stopped listening to other people, because most of the people are parrots and they repeat what they've heard from other people instead of doing their own research and being critical thinkers. And people need to start doing that. Don't even listen to me, you know, maybe get ideas for me and do your own research and check it out. As far as I can see, no one's debunked anything I've put forth in the last 20 years. No one reads my law papers for the most part. You know, it's a crime to vote, folks. I'm not going to be nice about that after this election. But people need to realize they've been set up to be slaves. And that's part of the slave factor.
Yeah.
The Lincoln Project. Talk about that a little bit. You knew more about that than I did. I thought it was interesting that there was such a project, John.
So the Lincoln Project is a way for neocons to scam liberals out of money.
Mm-hmm.
They've raised tens of millions of dollars since they were set up back in December 2019. And they have people that are involved in it, like the quote-unquote conservative political pundit Rick Wilson, good old George Conway, who, of course, is the husband of Kellyanne Conway, the Council for National Policy member and former advisor to the president
right.
of the United States, Donald John Trump.
But your husband's a liberal. She's Republican, supposedly, or conservative.
Which, by the way, with George Conway, you know, Trump was considered making him a Solicitor General of the United States at one time, I think back during 2017, but he withdrew himself from consideration and later became a critic of Trump. So imagine if Trump would have put him in the
cabinet or
yes
administration, whatever.
So it's just interesting that would have happened, you know. And so you have these neocons and liberals bounding together for the Lincoln Project, these former Republicans, to get a bunch of money out of liberals and put commercials up on Twitter that are anti-Trump. It's a pact to make a crap ton of money.
Right. It gets back to the money, period. People are slaves. I put this new paper together just to kind of explain that. I showed it to you. It had bullet points, but I just want to read the first couple paragraphs I put together. It's called Creating the New America for World Communism. The 19th century, rich industrialists used Marx's economic blueprint, communism, in building their American empire. The radical Republicans understood that the faction known as the Synagogue of Satan, today known as the Zionist, would want to steal it for full control over time, i.e. progressive, in case you didn't know what progressive meant. It's progressive implementation of communism. In the 1850s, radical Republican Daniel Webster warned about what we're dealing with today. See the meme. And I got his little quote. I could read that, I suppose, if I had to. He used misdirection to cover up that there is a shadow government, Zionist. The entity titled Deep State is blamed for the alleged communist takeover. The sad fact is communism has been progressively installed from the 1850s and has been fully present in the USA for 50 years. We talked about that, John. What was that socialist theory? The Fabian Society.
The Fabian Socialists.
So yeah,
Their flags was a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah. So that's how they basically instituted communism. Is different. Communism is the economic blueprint. Socialism is the need to get people involved in government so they can be controlled to create the communist system. And people don't understand that either. But anyway, next paragraph. The Democrats, liberals, and or liberals, are the overt, useful idiots moving the Zionist program forward via theater of Marxism. Not communism, but Marxism. They are the ones turning over America to the Zionist faction for advancement of world communism. As it appears, Republicans are trying to preserve the current system and maintain control under Reconstruction of the Civil War. The system being progressive from inception in 1787, Trump appears, quote-unquote, to be saving the empire, but it is compromised as he is in bed with the synagogue of Satan, or Zionist. That said, Trump has absolutely no interest in putting us back under the Republic, unless possibly pushed to. That can only happen with the people of America understanding proper history and law. So it kind of ties in with that Lincoln Project, which I just found out about after I read this or wrote this a couple weeks ago. I didn't know about the Lincoln Project. And it's exactly what you just described. The original communists, which are the Republicans, using the liberals to make money or, you know, con them out of money.
Yep.
It's all there, man. Like I said a few minutes ago, no one's debunked any of my writings for the last 22 years. They just say, you know, it doesn't say that or that's wrong or whatever, but they never explain themselves. Typical liberal, you know, think or tactics. Bullying and whatever, you know. It's pretty sad. And I do believe liberalism is a mental disorder. I'm convinced of that.
That's what Michael Savage said.
Yeah. Who is a member of the Synagogue of Satan. But there's good people out there, folks. You know, I try to take everyone one-on-one. So, and that's the question, you know. Like I was saying a few minutes ago about criticizing Jack McLam, for example. Not everyone knows everything or they haven't been blessed like maybe us of understanding what we understand. And you're stuck in the system. Even the Amish, for example, they're plagued with their children reaching the outside. It gets back to that movie, The Village. They used fear to keep their people in their village so they didn't see the outside world. The Amish don't even have that luxury. So that's why I like that movie so much. You almost have to isolate yourselves from this world to operate under God because Satan is just taking over. I saw an interview, speaking of that, and the sickness of these people. It was a Chinese gentleman. He was a businessman. He was being interviewed, or he was with Elon Musk. And the question was, or what the Chinese man said, he said, man is smarter than technology. And, of course, Musk is sitting there, no, it's not. Science is much more smarter. And I'm thinking, really? If man didn't invent the technology, technology is nothing. And man is nothing without the creator or God. So people have totally lost that path or that formula of how things work because the New World Order is based on man and how he can control other men or women in this case of communism because that's why they brought women into the workforce or said they say they have rights. That's so they can be enslaved and used by the elite. That's the only reason they brought women to power. so they can tax them and use them for their economic slaves. I'm not saying women don't have rights. Don't get that idea. So, but you have to understand who you are, where your powers come from, or where your existence comes from. We only got a minute or two left. John, you want to tell people how to get a hold of you?
Yes. You guys can find me at We've Read the Documents on YouTube and We've _ Read on Twitter. Thank you very much for having me on Dare to Think Out Loud this week.
Oh, thanks for being part of this. I'm very happy that we met because it's hard to find people that think out there anymore. Again, Jimmy, thanks for introducing us.
Yes.
My program's here on Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. On Tuesdays, it's called The Ultimate Remedy, which I do have. I've had a plan for 20 years. When you people are tired of screwing around, give me a call. We'll get this thing fixed. Anyway, it's Tuesdays at 6 o'clock here on Revolution Radio. Took this week off, but I'll be back next Tuesday. Thanks, folks. Have a great weekend. And just stay safe. It's terrible out there.
Revolution.